Morning. How y'all doing this morning? Good. Awesome. Well, if this is your first time with us or first time in a while, we're looking at the book of Matthew together. And it's been really, really encouraging for me. I hope it's been really encouraging for you. But the teachings of Jesus are quite challenging. And today isn't going to be an exception. We will be challenging ourselves today, and Lord willing, we'll walk away with the tools to keep ourselves in right relationship, but also encourage others to do the same. That's what it means to be in community. And in an individualistic culture, that feels foreign, but I tell you this morning, as we come together as the body of Christ, our role and responsibility is very much to do it together. Amen? Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago, as I was talking about this series and saying, you know, we're covering 3-4 chapters at a time, so we're really sprinting through the book of Matthew, and I said, if you can read along, that would be really great, because the person teaching can't cover everything. To that, my partner in crime and pastor, my fellow pastor here at the church said, "Hold my coffee." And instantly went through the next week to touch on every single section of the 4 chapters that he was given. So bless him. I said, "Man, you're setting an unreasonable standard for me in our meeting on Monday." But he's at home sick, so if you could be praying for him this morning, that would be great. The focus of last week's message, if you missed it or maybe you were here, is he worth it? Is he worth it? And if you were here last week, I can only assume that you're here today for one of 3 reasons. Either the answer was a resounding yes, or you're incredibly scheduled and coming to church on Sunday is a thing that you do. Or you're not really sure what the answer is, and you're sticking it out. And in any one of those 3 situations, I am so thankful that you are here. And I look forward to the opportunity for us to continue to learn together. Today, we'll be looking at Matthew 18 to 20. Unlike Glenn, I will be honing in on 18. But this chunk of text deals with all kinds of topics, from stumbling, whether you're causing yourself to stumble or you're causing someone else to stumble, to all kinds of sin struggles, to comparison, to looking at someone else. This is very common, to looking at someone else and saying, "Man, I have been persevering hard and long, and this person just came in the door, and they are experiencing an outpouring of grace. What on earth is going on?" Either what's wrong with me or what's wrong with them, right? So we have all these elements, but scattered through the whole text, we have this repeated theme of the incredible generosity of God. The incredible generosity of God. And that is going to be at the heart of what we're learning about today. Today in Matthew 18, Jesus gives what I see as a litmus test, a test which I believe can reveal to us what I'm going to call the maturity of our faith. It's a big deal, right? Big deal in a community where we say that we're growing together in maturity. Well, how do we know how we're doing maturity-wise? I believe Jesus gave us something that we can test ourselves against. And that can be challenging, right? To test, you know, where I'm at. Because I think oftentimes, I don't know if you're anything like me, but you're. I often, when I've discussed with people, you're in one of 2 boats. Either you're in my boat that thinks you're way better off than you actually are, right? That's supposed to be funny. Come on. And then, or you're in the other boat where you think you're way worse off than you actually are, right? So I think that this gives us a test, and the test looks like this. Here it is. I'm going to word it like this. The more that we understand, grasp the gospel, that is the good news of our deliverance from sin and death, total and complete covering of our unrighteousness, so that we may stand righteous before God the Father. The more that we really grasp, receive, right? Because it's a gift. The more we receive and understand this incredible gift, the less we'll be able to hold a grudge over someone, stay bitter towards them, or harbor ill will. Okay? So on the flip side, the more frequently that you hold a grudge over someone, stay bitter towards them, or harbor ill will, I would argue the less you truly grasp the gospel. That's tough, right? Because I think we all wrestle with these things, if we're honest. So that's the test. The lesson that we're going to take in today from this text is this. Christians, that's Christ followers, receivers of the abounding grace of God, should be excellent, excellent, excellent at relationship repair. Okay? Christians, Christ followers, receivers of the abounding grace of God, should be excellent at relationship repair. Whoo! You ready for an adventure? Let's do it. Today's text is going to be Matthew 18, 21 through 35. If you want to open your Bibles or phones, and it's going to be up here on the screen as well. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sinned against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' Servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him. He began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees, begged him, 'Be patient with me. I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had the mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how the Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart." Let's pray. Lord God, your word can be challenging. And Father, I pray this morning as we dive into this word, I pray that that challenge would transform us, so that we can be the people that you have called us to be. That we would be excellent at repairing relationships. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'd already mentioned Christians should be excellent at repairing relationships. And I believe that this repairing relationships comes in two parts. One we covered a few weeks ago, which is repentance. Okay, repentance, that was 2 or 3 weeks ago. And the other element of this repairing relationship is forgiveness. And so these two things go hand in hand, repentance and forgiveness. And we're going to dive into forgiveness at depth today. This story that we've just read shows us three elements of forgiveness: the reason, the frequency, and the way. The reason for forgiveness, the frequency of forgiveness, and the way. The reason. Well, when we first come into Jesus' parable, he mentions this servant who owes him 10,000, I like how the NIV puts it, 10,000 bags of gold. Because for most of us, we can go, that's a lot of gold, right? It's a lot of gold. Many bags. But if you look at the actual translation, it's 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. What's the point? We live in a culture where people have debt. You know, not all people, but some people have debt, right? You take loans for a house, for a car, and you go, okay, you know, a debt, this guy owes him some money, he'd pay it back, right? Well, that's not the point of what Jesus is saying here. 10,000 talents. A talent was the highest unit of value in Greek currency. It's the highest unit of value in Greek currency. You couldn't have a higher one. And 10,000 is, the word is myriad, and it's the largest numerical value represented by a single word. The largest number in the Greek numerical system would have been a myriad times a myriad, which would have been, I think, 100 million. So this is the largest number presented by a single word, and the largest currency value. To have a single talent was to be very, very, very wealthy. So what's the point? What's the point? It's huge, 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 unimaginable number. What's the point? What's Jesus trying to say? What do we know about this debt? It can never be repaid. Never. It's not possible. It's absolutely impossible that this debt can be repaid. So even when we see what the servant's petition to the king, be patient with me, he begged, I will pay it back everything. That's not true. He cannot. He'll never be able to do it. On the flip side, when he engages with this other servant who owes him 100 silver coins, they call it in this, it would be essentially the equivalent of 100 days' labor. Okay, so it's not an insignificant amount of money. But compared to what this servant owed, it's nothing. It's nothing. And that's going to be important for us to hold on to. And when the servant begs that servant, be patient with me, I'll pay it back, that's a real likelihood that he could do that. Over time, he could pay this servant back. It was within his potential to pay back this debt. So the reason that we forgive is because we have had a debt canceled that's unimaginable, unrepayable. And any hurt that we face in our lives from someone else, any debt that's owed to us, you know, when I think of of a debt, because all of this story is in this. It's speaking of debt. But the reality is that being wronged is like being robbed. Being wronged is like being robbed. And somebody, and by our nature, if somebody has robbed us, whether it's spit on us or slapped us or said something mean about us or actually taken our money, then we feel that we owe them something back in return. Or they owe us something, sorry. They owe us something back in return. It's like being robbed. And so the reason that we are able to forgive is because we have done this wrong greater than anyone can ever do wrong to us. It has been canceled on our behalf. And so any robbery against us, any debt against us has nothing in comparison. So we forgive because we're forgiven. Which brings us to frequency. So we said the reason, the frequency, and the way. The frequency is really actually covered right in the beginning. Before we even get into the parable, we have this remarkable example by Peter. I say remarkable because if you don't understand the context, you'd kind of think, okay, so Peter said 7, and then Jesus is like 77, so Peter was way off, right? Right? Yeah, Peter's way off. But according to rabbinic teaching, the appropriate number of times to forgive was 3. It's 3. Where do they get that from? Well, they get that from Amos. If you've read the first 2 chapters of Amos, you read through a whole bunch of, for 3 sins of some place, even for 4, I will not relent. And so the teacher said, well, if God brings judgment on the 4th, who are we to be more gracious than God? Right? So they say 3. You forgive 3 times. So from Peter's perspective here, he's looking and he's saying, this is over the top. I'm more than double what we're allowed to forgive based on our teaching. But Jesus comes back. And that this makes this powerful because 77 is more, when Jesus says, no, I tell you 77 times, does that mean when you hit the 78th time, it's like, and now it's time for me to smack this person back. We finally got there, 77, 78, you know, he gotcha. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that if you're counting, you've missed the point. If you're counting, you've missed the point. Mark 11:25, Jesus says this. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, pause. These are big words, okay? Let's try that again. If you hold how much? Anything against whom? Anyone. Big words. All right. So if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. So that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. As I thought about this, I instantly go, okay. So here we have, when we go to pray, we're to forgive. And for some of you, you know, there's an encouragement from Paul. How often do we pray? Without ceasing. Very good, class. Very good. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says this. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we're to be in constant communion with God. We can agree on that, right? Everybody? Yes. Our goal as believers is to be in constant communion with God, to be walking in his way. And what God has told, Jesus himself has told us in Mark 11, is that whenever you go to commune with God, if you're convicted of something you're holding against someone else, convicted of anything you're holding against anyone else, forgive them. That's convicting. But Jesus doesn't stop there. What's really convicting about this is this completes a circle that Jesus already started on the Sermon on the Mount. Let's see, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 23 and 24, it says this. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. This is wild for a couple reasons. Because today we think, oh, the altar, well, that's a church. There's one on every corner, right? But at this time, there's one altar, and it's in Jerusalem. And so Farmer Ben Stauffer's walking 2 days to get to the altar with his offering, and he goes, crud. My brother Aaron's ticked at me right now. Here we go, you know? Back I go, 2 day walk this way. It's a huge ask. But it also completes this circle I spoke about, and we're gonna see. This is significant, because this circle provides two really remarkable challenges from Jesus to us. We've all heard it said, or if you're familiar with Scripture, you've heard it said, that Jesus summarizes the commandments. He says, the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And like it, the second, right, the second one, love your neighbor as yourself. Why is this important? This is significant because Jesus is telling you that as you're going to foster the most important thing in your life, loving God, right? The greatest commandment. As you're going to foster that, as you're going to commune with God, if you have human relational issues, go fix that first. That's crazy. That's not how we think, is it? When we think of loving God, it's this devotion to God all the time. But what Jesus is saying is, come and love me after you fix your relationship with them. That's challenging. The second part of this incredible challenge in this circle is this. It's always your move. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? It's always your move. Because we see in Matthew 5, what's he say? If your brother's got something against you, whose move is it? Whose? It's my move. Yeah, a little lackluster. We'll try again. I'm bringing it a second time. Mark 11, 25, it says, if you go to pray and you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. Whose move is it? So when your relationships are in disrepair, no matter against you or you against them, whose move is it? It's my move. Whoo, that's tough. Okay. How do we reconcile this? Well, as I was thinking about this, the only relationship that ever had a perfect party in it was a relationship from God to us. Who took the initiative to mend that broken relationship? And so who are we to make an excuse? Thank you. How are we doing?
Doing great. Awesome. Praise the Lord.
So then there's the way. We've covered the frequency, and we've determined it's just to flow. This is to flow freely. As we're convicted of relationships in our lives that are in disrepair, then forgiveness flows freely. Repentance flows freely too, but that's not today's topic. So the way. Like I mentioned, God in our relationship being the only relationship where there was a perfect entity involved, took steps to, through his son Jesus, to cancel our debt, to restore the relationship. The expectation of repayment was released. In the same way, forgiveness for us is to give up our right to see repayment from others. Okay? So Jesus canceled the debt and gave us, through his sacrifice, release from our repayment. And similarly, he is encouraging us that we would be so generous with our forgiveness that we would release others from whatever we believe they owe us. That's challenging. But we don't have to do it alone, right? Jesus walked through all of this. He walked through all of this with the Spirit so that we could receive the Spirit and walk through this with him. So again, I'll say, the more we grasp the great gift, the overwhelming forgiveness that we've received in Christ Jesus, the less we will be able to hold a grudge over someone, stay bitter towards them, or harbor ill will. And my question for you is, how are you doing? How are you doing? I've definitely fallen on my face a few times this week. If you harboring unforgiveness is like holding on to poison, and it spreads. When I've interacted with people who have spent the majority of their lives being bitter, almost every interaction manifests in bitterness. Maybe you know someone like that. Maybe that someone's you. Christ gave himself so that we can be free of that. And Christ gave us a family so that we can help each other be free of that. Because of the incredible grace received from God through Christ, it's given to us so that his people can display amazing grace. Invite up the worship team. I mentioned earlier, our vision statement here is growing together towards maturity in Christ. And I mentioned that we have this test for ourselves. How are we doing? How are we doing? And as far as repairing relationships, are we excellent at it? So there's the self-reflection there, but our vision statement is growing how? Together. What a blessing. growing together towards maturity in Christ. And to do that, we have to hold a few scriptures together with incredible balance, grace by the power of the Holy Spirit. One is Hebrews 3:12 through 13, which I'm just going to give you kind of the summary. It's the encouraging each other daily, as long as today is called to daily, so that you don't become hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Because oftentimes, especially if you are in the practice of being bitter towards someone, you don't know it. You might not know it. And so you say certain things. You have certain behaviors that are ingrained in you, and it takes someone holding up a mirror or repeating it back to you to realize, oh, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. And so that's what the community of God, that's one of their purposes in growing together towards maturity in Christ, is that we can help each other not be deceived by sin. Because it's tricky. Sin tricks us into thinking that we are upright all the time while we are harboring bitterness towards others. And we have to balance that with James 2:13, which deals with judgment without mercy. Because unless you have walked through this process we talked about today, searching yourself, do I have anyone I'm harboring ill will towards? Have I forgiven them? Have I repented? So that your posture in bringing that to light for someone else is not one of, this vindicates me, but this equips them to not be living with poison. That's tough. That is a tricky balance. And so I'll encourage you that balance is best held in healthy relationship. We have a women's group and we have a men's group. Now, praise the Lord. The men's group will be meeting a week from this Thursday, and the women's group will be meeting on Tuesday. Or there's other ways you can connect in communities of friends and families, other believers. But that deep relationship where you have that trust to hold each other accountable is crucial. I have a bunch of other things written here, and I don't know if any of them are worth saying. So this concept of forgiveness is not something that we manifest, rather, as we reflect on the incredible debt paid for us, we give up our own rights to see repayment from others. And I'm going to close with Romans 12:18, which says this. If at all possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. Lord, your word can be very challenging. But God, I pray as a community, as a people, we would come along each other, encourage each other, build each other up so that the things that can be challenging seem light. Because we have each other, but ultimately, God, because we're walking in your grace. Lord, I pray that that grace and the reality of our debt paid would sink in new ways this morning. And that from that, we would be empowered to be a people that are extraordinary in repairing relationships. In Jesus' name, amen.